So, Don, there is a question that I have been getting a lot, and I know you have been getting a lot too. What do people always want to know about the God of the Old Testament?
I get this a lot, a lot, a lot. Does God mean?
Okay.
Why is the Old Testament God mean and the New Testament God is full of love? They seem to be different gods. I get this asked a lot.
Yes, I hear it a lot. In fact, I heard it just a couple Sundays ago in my gospel doctrine. People were like, why is the God of the Old Testament so angry and so mean? And so today we are going to fix that. And I think this is going to be a really great discussion so that when you're done listening, you can answer people's questions. Is the God of the Old Testament really mean? Or is there a different way to look at the storyline? Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scripture, Finding Christ on Every Page. I'm Tammy Uzalakal with my friend Dr. Donald W. Perry. And this is part two of Exodus, chapters 1 through 6. And we are going to dive into this storyline of is God mean or not? So I have a picture to show you. This is me when I was pregnant with my daughter Lily. This is Kirsten because I married into a family. I married a widower. And so this is Kirsten, and she is leaning next to me, and I am 2 weeks pregnant. No, just kidding. I'm not. I'm about to give birth. And when she wanted to compare her head to my belly because she thought it was so
How
gigantic.
cute.
So she's like, take a picture of my head next to your belly,
Oh,
and you
how
can see
cute.
how big my stomach was. Very huge. The reason I share this picture with you is because I want you to think about a womb, a woman's womb, and all of the things that happen in a womb and what a womb is good for. And I quickly learned that while that baby was growing inside my stomach, it was a place where this child would receive nourishment, receive oxygen, receive all the necessities to growth. It's a place for building and growth in this womb. It's also a place of love, so much love and connection. And this idea of this womb connects directly to a Hebrew word that's going to teach us about the fact that the God of the Old Testament is a very loving God. And so we're going to get into the word, and it's going to connect to womb in just a minute. So stay with us as we weave this beautiful storyline and teach you who the God of the Testament really is. So, Don, let's go. Is he really a loving God or a mean God?
He's a loving God, and I have different components. And you might say the components don't fit, but they do.
Yeah.
They all lead to the same idea. The God of the Old Testament is a loving God, and so is the God of the New Testament. So the first verse I want to look at is this: For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is a lifetime. So compare those two. Does God get angry? Yes, and you might call it righteous indignation or use another term, but it's just for a moment. 1600 years ago-ish, some Jewish scholars discussed this and they said, how long is a moment?
Yeah.
So this is kind of fun, but it
Okay.
also teaches us. This is a quote from the Babylonian Talmud. And how long does his anger last? God's anger lasts a moment. So they're quoting this verse. And how long is a moment? Rabbi Avin, and some say it was Avina, that's the name, said a moment lasts as long as it takes to say it in Hebrew, rega. That means moment.
Moment.
So how long's a moment? Let's use the English. It's as long as it takes to say moment. So half second.
That's how long he'll be upset.
Yeah, that's his anger,
That's
just
his
that
anger.
long.
Okay.
The same source says this: How much time does his anger last? God's anger lasts a moment. And how long is a moment? It's 1/58,888th of an hour. That is a moment. One of my friends who wrote a book dealing with these topics, he did some calculation and it's a 0.06 seconds.
That's quick recovery.
Yeah, that's quick. So,
I laugh at this, the
yeah,
Talmud. I took a class
yeah,
on the Talmud, and I remember learning that everything is debatable.
yes. Yeah.
Everybody's got different opinions and
Yes.
takes, and even on that opinion, they have to have an opinion of the opinion. And I remember at the end of the class, I raised my hand and asked the rabbi, "Why? Who cares? Like, what does it matter? I would. My brain doesn't think this way." But today, I'm very grateful that their brains think this way
Yeah.
because you could read this and think a moment could mean anything to
Yeah.
anybody.
Yeah.
But I love this. It's so quick. The
Yeah.
recovery time for God, for the Lord is, all right, it's over. We're done. Move on.
This is their opinion.
Okay.
I'm not saying this is our doctrine or anything,
Correct.
it's their opinion, but it's just a way to look at
I
it.
like it.
So in comparison to his love and his compassion, his anger is just for a second.
Yeah.
Now, let's transition and look at five Hebrew terms that describe the love of God. I have the Hebrew there on the right. It's ahava.
I love the word, first of all. I remember it
Yeah.
by saying, Ahava love for you.
Oh, that's a good
That's how
way
I
to
remember that
remember
Hebrew
it.
word, Ahava love.
Yeah. The noun occurs 30 times in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, and the verb 218 times in various contexts. It's not always about God. It's a man's love for his wife and vice versa, or love for children, and so on. So he was their savior. Jehovah was their savior, and the angel of his presence saved them in his, God's, love, and in his pity he redeemed them. The Lord said, yea, I have loved, the verb, thee with an everlasting love. It's a forever love. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to realize that.
And I love the duplicity of that word, because his name is everlasting.
Yeah.
And so to me, yes, that implies his love, which, yeah, I can't comprehend, because I can only comprehend mortal man's love.
Yeah.
But I wonder if God's love is just beyond anything we could imagine. It's unique to him. Wow.
Number two is a verb. It means to have compassion or to love. It occurs 46 times. Now, this is important what I'm going to say, and you might have to come follow me, okay, and make sure everyone gets it.
All right.
So it's plural. Mm-hmm. It's loves. And a lot of lexicons translate it as compassions. God has compassions. See, it's amplifying. It's emphasizing how much. And notice how the King James sometimes translates this, tender mercies. So when, yes, we talk about tender mercies, in the Hebrew, it's compassions, yes, God's compassions.
How do you say this word?
It's racham. This occurs 40 times as compassions. In Isaiah 63, 7, I will mention the loving kindnesses or the compassions of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his compassions and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Now here's the one from Psalm. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies, in the Hebrew it's compassions, and thy loving kindnesses, chesed's, for they have been ever of old. They weren't just invented in the Old Testament at the time of Abraham or Moses or Hannah. They've been forever. That's God. That's who he is. Compassions and loving kindnesses.
Okay, so we just have to do this, though, because this is where the pregnancy picture comes in. I love this word. Ooh, okay, rachem or rachamim in, mm-hmm, plural. Mm-hmm. And it comes from the Hebrew root rachem, which means womb.
Yes.
Denotes a protective, nurturing love like a mother has for her child. That is so beautiful to me. Every time when I would read mercy and I would look up and see, okay, is it this word or is it chesed, which we'll talk about in a minute. Yeah. But I wanted to know, is it this word? Because that changes everything in the context of scripture.
Yeah.
Like he is loving me with a mercy that a woman of, yep, a womb. Now, there's another kind of word for love, though. So we have, yep, rachem, but we then have chesed, which, yep, many members of the church are very familiar with. This has kind of been a very cool buzzword in,
yeah,
many conference talks.
Yeah.
And so tell us about that, because there's a lot of different ways people interpret it. In fact, I think I read somewhere that there are more than 14 different words,
yes,
that mean chesed in Hebrew. So you could read a verse of scripture with all these loving kindness mercies, yeah, when it's really just the word chesed. So will you teach, yeah, us about that?
So the problem is, this is one of the Hebrew words that we don't have an exact translation for.
Right.
So the translators take different words of love and compassion and try to make it work. Chesed, so I'm going to look at one of the lexicons. Mm-hmm. When it's speaking of God, it's of God kindness, loving kindness, in condescending to the needs of his creatures. Now I've heard many teach that it's also connected with covenant, but of the 249 times, it is of covenant. We're going to look at an example, but it's much, much more. It's 100 times more than that. Mm. It's such a powerful word. There are entire books written on chesed and what it might mean. It is super important. Here are three examples. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Mm-hmm. Does that sound like a God who's angry most of the time and once in a while, He has steadfast love? No, it's forever.
I just want to say this one thing too, because in Psalms 136, if you go through and read all 26 verses, every verse has the word mercy, and it's actually the word chesed.
Yeah.
So I've gone through and highlighted all the mercies and written to the outside chesed, and it just changes the meaning of that psalm specifically.
Totally.
So, yeah, that's a really good one. The next one is, for the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love, chesed, shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion, raham, on you.
The steadfast love, chesed, of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, rachamim, compassions, never come to an end.
No.
They're always there.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never find a verse anywhere that says his anger is forever and though the mountains depart, he'll still be angry. It doesn't say that.
Yeah, you'll never find a verse that says his love is but a moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Ever.
That's
like,
right.
That's the significance about this.
So this is the verse that you referred to. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, For, and this is a refrain, his steadfast love endures forever.
Mm-hmm.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love, chesed, endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love, chesed, endures forever. And I can see them in the audience saying this,
mm-hmm.
and maybe in a hymn.
Singing
and
it?
Then when it comes to the first one, all of Israel says this in Hebrew, his steadfast love endures forever. And then the house of Aaron say it, and then those who fear the Lord. And then, oh, give thanks, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. I didn't include the whole thing.
There's so many verses.
Just really emphasize his love, it's steadfast and it's forever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is number four.
Okay.
It's a verb, chashak.
Chashak.
To be attached to or love. It's a rare verb, it occurs 11 times. Here's an example from Deuteronomy. The Lord did not send his love or to attach or bind his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, and so on. So it's out of context. Read the whole context.
Yeah.
But the Lord did set his love on them. That's the meaning. He attached it.
Mm, okay.
One more. Number five is found one time. And it's chet bet bet, means to love. And it's found in Deuteronomy 33:3. Yea, the Lord loved the people, all his saints are in thy hand.
And this is the more common use of love in modern day Israel, in Jew.
It's one of them, yeah.
Like you see this on shirts and different signs. This Havav. Havav, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So those are the five.
Okay.
So we looked at first his anger for a moment.
Yeah.
Then we looked at five verbs of love that a lot of people ignore when they talk about the Old Testament and how it's eternal and forever. Now, let's talk about taking things out of context.
Okay.
And people take things out of context sometimes, and they'll quote this God of love in the New Testament and ignore the whole passage or ignore another passage. So I have about five examples.
Great. Let's go over them.
So if you read this,
yep.
I am the true vine, said Jesus. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So a lot of people read that, but they don't read the second part. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll read this about, oh yes, abiding in him, but they take it out of context and don't read the second part. This is Jesus. If you don't abide in me, you'll burn.
That kind of seems like an angry God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it's not. And we'll conclude that it's not.
Okay.
But here's another example. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But if you read that, read the rest of it. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They don't talk about perish. If you don't believe, the scripture in John says, you're going to perish. Okay, if you read this, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him, 1 John. But what about this other one that you don't hear very much? Jesus is speaking, think not that I, Jesus, am come to send peace on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This is the New Testament God.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it sounds like the Old Testament God. But it's all the same God.
Yeah.
And they're all context, and they're all important, and they're all true.
Yeah.
So if you read this, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. True statement.
Mm-hmm.
Totally true. But a lot of people ignore this one in Revelation. And I, John, saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he, Jesus, that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. This depicts him as a warrior.
Yeah.
These are also Old Testament.
For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. There's those words. Even
I like
moment,
yeah.
Everlasting. I like that. For the day of vengeance is mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come.
Giving more context.
Yep, absolutely.
Is God mean or loving? He's not mean.
No.
The Old Testament God and the New Testament God are the same. His steadfast love endures forever. We already looked at that.
Yep.
He does dispense judgments. He's a just God, and he's perfectly just. And to be God, he has to have judgment. And so we read John. Let's go back to John. I, John, heard another angel who came out from the altar in heaven saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." So he is a God of judgments, but they are righteous and true and fair and perfect and deserving, and they protect the righteous also.
I like this at the end. Yes, he is loving. It reminds me of lectures on faith. In lecture 3, which is the characteristics of God, and it lists 6 of the characteristics of God. And the 6th one is, he is love. And I thought, when I first learned that, that kind of blew my mind, that a characteristic of God is that he is love, which tells me he is not hate. If he is love, everything about him loves. And that is powerful to think about, that God loves us. My degree is in sociology. And I can remember learning in one of my classes that there is sort of this sociological and psychological idea that the father we were raised with tends to play a role in the God we believe in. And so if you were raised by a dad who was angry and mad and vengeful, and he was mad at you longer than a moment, it might be easy for you then to think that God's always mad at you or always judging you or you're not enough, whatever it is. And sometimes when I get to teach about our Heavenly Father, I tell everyone in my class, just take that whiteboard of what you believe about God that's negative and get rid of it.
I like that.
And let's just reframe who our Heavenly Father is. And at the very top, just put, first things first, he is love.
Yes.
I think one of my favorite stories, Don, I'll just share this lastly, is with my dad. So years ago, one of my daughters, she got to have a parent or grandparent lunch date. And the parents showed up with food, and then they got to sit and eat in the cafeteria with the child. And so my daughter wanted her grandpa to come and sit with her. So I called my dad and I arranged it and said, here's the day, here's the time, and I will provide the meal. You just show up to the school. So that day came, and a lot of things had happened in between. Like, I called him a month ahead and I completely forgot that I had told him about it. And then it got canceled and I didn't tell my dad. And my dad showed up at the school and he asked, where's the day? And they were like, oh, it's not today, sir. It got canceled. And he never called me. He never told me it got canceled. And later that day, I said to my daughter, how was your lunch with grandpa? And she's like, oh, mom, it wasn't today. They canceled it. I was devastated. Like, I thought, my poor dad drove all the way down to your school. He took the time to do this. And he didn't even call me. And I thought he'd be mad. And so I called him and I said, and this is the part that I love. I said, Dad, I am so sorry that I did that to you. You drove all the way. It's my bad. I should have let you know. I can't even believe I didn't realize it was canceled. And I kept apologizing to my dad. And my dad said this, hey, don't worry about it. It's forgotten. No big deal.
Oh, what a dad.
I loved that moment. And he said, put more attention on other things that matter. This is no big deal.
I love that.
That was a moment. That was my father's moment with me that made me go, maybe this is how our Heavenly Father is with us.
Yes.
Like, forget about it. You're putting way more effort into thinking that this is bad than I ever did. I'm fine. I've moved on. I think that's how Heavenly Father loves us. That's the moment. The 0.06 moment. He loves us and he loves the people of the Old Testament. He is an absolute loving God. And all the words you saw today, all of the ways that we've described love, that is who we believe in. And so with that idea in mind, as you continue to read the Old Testament this year, even the parts that make you uncomfortable and think, this seems mean, remember, it's a moment and that God will prevail for his people. He's provided a way to prevail for his people because God is love, 100%. And so we hope you enjoyed this lesson. Share this message with other people and let them know who God really is. Shalom and goodbye.